Dr. Wade Jack.
This was printed by the 14th Naval District as losses of boats during World War II, because there's two boats here, lost in 1917 and 1922. They're not in the book. So I've got two, and I thought it'd be interesting because it gives you in quite detail, which is exactly what happened to the submarines. I think I told some of you that the USS Escala that was lost in October of 44, I had been assigned to her, but I got delayed en route to Pearl Harbor. And when I got to Pearl Harbor, looking for assignment, because the skipper was my skipper on the Thresher, and he had looked me up when I was at officer school in New London, and he had brought the Escala from Philadelphia up to New London to be degaussed, and he came up to look me up, and he said, "I tried to get you transferred," which is the best thing that didn't happen, and he said, "But when you get to Pearl, I'll leave orders." And when I got there, I was informed that, oh, they said she was overdue. If you had been here 2 weeks before, we would have flown you to Saipan, and I would have been on there, and I wouldn't be standing here. And I lost about three or four guys that I'd sailed with, so it's really something. I thought it'd be interesting that each month we can just read so you have a better understanding, because, in fact, he said he had, I don't know, over 100 patrols?
18
patrols. Well, I did 8 patrols, but our patrols were anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 weeks. His longest patrol was 101 days, and so most of you know about that. So that would be really something. But this is interesting. And the Sea Lion, SS-195, the first submarine victim of enemy action was Sea Lion, Lieutenant Commander Vogue. The start of the war on December 8th, East Longitude date, found her along with the Sea Dragon in the last stages of overhaul at the Navy Yard Cavite, Philippine Islands. Both were scheduled for completion on December 12th. Although there were frequent air raids in Manila area during the first 2 days of the war, no enemy planes visited the Navy Yard Cavite until the afternoon of the third day, December 10th. On that day, the air raid alarm sounded about half an hour after noon, and shortly thereafter, 54 planes in two groups of 27 each were sighted heading for the Navy Yard. Sea Lion was seated at Makina Wharf with Sea Dragon inboard and the minesweeper Bitten outboard. With the exception of the commanding officer, the executive officer, Robert Rayburn, and all three men, all personnel were below decks. The first stick of bombs landed from 100 to 200 yards astern of the Sea Lion, and at that time, Yoga, seeing that the planes were going to bomb from high altitude where machine gun fire could not reach him, ordered all hands below. It was the most fortunate decision. The next bombing run, but a few minutes later, two bombs hit the Sea Lion simultaneously. One struck the after of the conning tower, Fairwater, completely demolishing the machine gun mount when it had just been vacated, the main induction of the battery and ventilation. And after conning tower bulkhead, it exploded outside the hull a few feet along the central room. Had it entered the hull before exploding, this, the majority of the Sea Lion's crew would have been lost. As most of the personnel were in that room, a fragment from the bomb poured over the conning tower of the Sea Dragon, killing instantly Ensign Hunter, who was stationed there, the first submarine casualty of war. Other fragments from the bomb pierced the pressure hull, inflicting minor wounds on three Sea Lion men in the control room. At almost the same instant, another bomb passed through the main ballast tank and the pressure hull exploded in maneuvering space in the after end of the after engine room, killing four men who were working in the compartments. With the explosion in the maneuvering room, the after engine room flooded and immediately and the Sea Lion settled into the mud aft. The forward engine room and that torpedo room flooded slowly through the bomb fragments in the bulkheads. Personnel in these compartments, as well as in the other parts of the ship, made their escape above water. Sea Lion finally settled down by stern with about 40% of the main deck underwater and with 15% list to starboard. The bomb, which exploded above the control room while doing great superficial damage, did little harm to the pressure hull, although then, other than piercing it with numerous bomb fragments. The bomb, which exploded after the bomb which exploded aft, did the major damage. A more vital spot than the maneuvering space would not possibly have been found. All motor controls, reduction gears, and main motors were wrecked, totally immobilizing the ship. However, the damage could have been considered non-fatal had there been an overhaul facilities available for repairs, but such was not the case. The bombing, which wrecked the Sea Lion, also demolished the Navy Yard Cavite, and the closest repair facilities was at Pearl Harbor, 5,000 miles away. The war situation being what it was impossible to tow the Sea Lion that distance, and after removing all the gear of value, such as the gyros and the radios and sound equipment, she was destroyed to prevent her from falling into enemy hands. Three depth charges were exploded inside the Sea Lion on Christmas Day, 1941. And that's how she went down. And it gives a list of all the crew and so forth. And the Kaplan, it was the other one, 289, commanded by Lieutenant Commander Marshall. Returning from a first war patrol after only 17 days out, Kaplan, Commander Marshall, came into Darwin on 10 November 1943 with a defective conning tower hatch mechanism, excessively noisy bioplanes, and a defective radar tube. These flaws were corrected to the satisfaction of the commanding officer, and the ship then departed for a second war patrol on 17 November. Her area was in Mollusca and the Celebes base, and she was to pay particular attention to various straits out there. When she was to leave her area at dark 6 December. Nothing had possibly occurred from the Kaplan since she departed. However, Bonefish reported having seen a U.S. submarine at 1 degrees 14 north, 127 minutes 50, so forth, on 2 December 1943. The position in that area assigned to the Kaplan at that time. An additional attempt to reach the Kaplan by radio on 9 December elicited no response. On 23 November, an American submarine was attacked off Keio Bay, and however, the Japanese stated this attack was broken off, and the evidence of contact was rather thin. The only positive statement which can be made is that the Kaplan was lost in the Celebes Strait Sea or various other places. Enemy minefields are now known to have been placed in various positions along the north coast of the Celebes in the Kaplan's way, and she may have been lost because of a mine explosion. In her 17 days first patrol, the Kaplan sunk two Japanese medium freighters for 7,400 tons of merchant shipping. The first patrol was conducted among the islands immediately west of New Guinea, and it gives you the sailing list. So this is something that is real interest. All I know is, all I can say is, I look out and see all you guys, and they say you're all heroes. You're not all heroes. You're lucky to get back, because the heroes are the guys that are lying on the bottom out there. And believe me, you never forget. I know I told you before, but you, in my experience, just past my 92nd birthday, I can remember practically every single day that I was in the service from April of 41 to October of 45. But if you ask me what I did yesterday, I can't tell you, because I can't remember. But I can remember those days, and it was really something. So I thought this might be of interest, that telling how these boats were lost, so you have a better understanding.
Thank you very much, Jack.